Some fresh, new, and big federal contracting opportunities are coming. The biggest opportunity will be the $60 billion Alliant 2 deal, a government-wide acquisition contract the General Services Administration is cooking up. That's according to Bloomberg Government. BGov has published its latest list of the top 20 upcoming vehicles. These are the ones contractors simply have to have places on. For more, we turn to Bloomberg senior analyst Kevin Brancato. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so give us a sense of the scope of the top 20 opportunities. When do they hit and how big are they together?
So overall, they're almost $300 billion in ceiling. That's across the entire federal government. They range from very simple hardware to complex professional services, but it's really hard to say to scope them down because so many of these contracts are so broad. For example, the top one that you mentioned, Alliant 2, it's supposed to provide comprehensive IT solutions like its predecessor contract, GSA Alliant, does. It has for large business and small. So we're not talking about programs exclusively for large contracts. We're talking about a very large mix, and it's not just IT. There are technical services, professional services, and C4ISR, you name it, it's on this list.
And the Alliant 1, I guess you could call it, currently going, has been pretty popular among agencies, correct?
It's been extremely popular. In terms of the contract data that's reported, there's at least $8 billion on the large business so far, another $3 billion on the small business. In contracts reported, we think there are more. There's actually more reported in other databases than that, but still it's extraordinary. The Alliant 2 is not scheduled, at least to start, the Alliant 1 ends in about fiscal 19, but they're starting up Alliant 2 early to make sure that it's in place and ready and on time.
So this is something that if contractors like Alliant 1, they better get ready to stay on Alliant 2. Ideally.
This actually was not one of our top opportunities at the beginning of the fiscal year because we said it's so early, they're not going to do this early, but they're very serious. There's an iteration of draft requests for proposals that are going to come out, and the actual request for proposals should be out in October, November. But right now is the time that companies should get in, really try to understand where they belong on this contract, and how they should participate, how they should maybe team, and just get in on the ground early.
Is that a trend where the agencies are starting the recompete planning even midway or even earlier than midway through the existing vehicle?
It seems that it's not a trend. It's universal at this point. And it makes a lot of sense because particularly with the protests of virtually all contract vehicles, getting a start early means agencies can actually get the recompete in on time. There is a drawback there that over time the structure of contracts change. What exactly an agency would want on it, or that there are competing contract vehicles out there, and we see that here. There appear to be multiple overlapping opportunities, but in the end, I think they're taking a prudent, cautious, and have almost universally gone out and really asked industry how the best they could plausibly supply all the goods and services that the agencies need.
Now, there's another one that's new that's not a recompete called Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions, which sounds a lot like what you just described that Alliant does. So tell us about EIS, also from the GSA.
Yeah, so EIS, it is a follow-on, but it's a restructuring of how they do things. Networks is a set of contracts for telecommunications services, and they are essentially expanding this and broadening the scope. We had a very difficult time assessing because it looked like there was very little money for these networks contracts. If you went into the federal procurement databases or public databases, there are only several hundred million dollars a year in telecommunications for AT&T, Verizon, and companies like that. But over the last week, we pulled down data about invoices. The GSA lists invoices that these companies provide, and it's $1 billion a year at least in these services. It's amazing that there is a large discrepancy between what they report in the contracts database and what they report otherwise that the companies are invoicing. We think that's very important, particularly for Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions and also maybe for Alliant 2, that the market could be larger than it appears if you're just going by the contract data.
So in other words, there's no free or low-price broadband for federal agencies?
No, certainly not. And in fact, the amount that spend is going up and up and up every single month, and because these invoices are reported monthly, and there appears to be almost no limit to the amount that of telecom and broadband that agencies want to consume.
And what is your view of the outlook for the consolidation of all of the professional services contracts at GSA that are throughout the schedules into a single new kind of a new category, really, for professional services?
Well,
what's your prospects there?
I think the prospects are very good. GSA has tried to do this before, but as you all know now, the professional services schedule is going to consolidate 8 different MACs, including MOBIS, FABS, professional engineering services, LogWorld, but it's also going to take in the consolidated schedule. And that's important because TSS isn't really new. So this whole idea of consolidating these things isn't new, but they found a way to rebrand it and get people on board. So TSS is actually the consolidated schedule, but it has taken all the other professional services vehicles and put it underneath. We think that the way they've done this, by basically subsuming it, makes it an immediate success that companies, and by making sure companies, as Tiffany Hickson, who's leading the charge at GSA for PSS, she's basically said, you know, no contractor should be harmed when transitioning from their previous MACs to this broader GWAC. And we think that's exactly the cautious and prudent steps that they've been taking, and that's what they're going to do.
So even though there might be some administrative changes on the parts of companies, really what GSA seems to be doing is marketing these things more clearly to the customers, and that benefits the suppliers or the contractors because people now will go to those vehicles.
I think they just do not want companies to have multiple contracts. It didn't make sense, particularly here. And companies did have 3, 4, 5, a couple had 7 of these contracts. It didn't make much sense if agencies are procuring the same goods and services across them. But you know, I'm also concerned, you know, in terms of services, that GSA's OASIS has gotten off to a slower start than we had hoped. You know, with the news yesterday that the Army has gotten on board by getting essentially a discount for using the vehicle, much like the Air Force had. We've been waiting for something like that. But eventually, you have all these huge, large, multiple war contracts. They have to start drawing off task orders from one another. And this GSA OASIS, we don't know how it's going to interact with one of our other top opportunities, which is the Army's RS3, which is a responsive strategic sourcing for services. There's the possibility of a not inconsiderable overlap there. We think that the Army has tried to address this and said, well, some of the more complex knowledge-based services that are for C4ISR, those are going to remain in the RS3 type vehicle. But something a little bit less complex or less related to C4ISR will go on to OASIS, but all that waits to be seen.
We're speaking with Kevin Brancato. He's senior analyst at Bloomberg Government. And with all of these MACs and GWACs overlapping somewhat, consolidating somewhat, and getting bigger in many cases because of agency actions, where does that leave the market for full and open competition as opposed to task orders? And conversely, where does that leave the GSA schedule contracts?
So the overall market, of course, has been declining because of the cuts in the budget, the decline in activity in theater and war. So we have seen a consolidation. There have been a couple of increases in markets. We've seen particularly in health IT, and we still see the same forms and trends of consolidation there, whereas VA has its T4NG follow-up to its T4 contract, and DHA is starting its HITS, its Health Information Technology Services contracts. And so whether the markets are consolidating overall, declining or increasing, we still see the same broad trends towards consolidation, and agencies still want their own vehicles. For many of the services, they will go to GSA, as you see with OASIS and PSS, if they're good deals. But for highly specific services that agencies like the Army, the Air Force, know that they are going to procure themselves and that are a little bit specialized, it's like range services for the Air Force, or particular technology that NOAA buys for in its ProTech, agencies want their own vehicles, and they still are pushing for that. And I don't think that's really going to change. There are legitimate reasons for agencies wanting to control their own vehicles.
Yeah, I can't imagine you would have like a new rifle contract, you know, that would be on a GWAC that all government agencies would buy, although there's a lot more police agencies than people may realize. But the other question I had was, with all of these GWACs and all of this activity, how does that contrast, or how does it mesh up, I guess, with some of the actions and policies that have been put out by the Office of Federal Procurement Policy? Their category management, they're working with GSA on that. They call them hallways, where you go here and there for different classes of products. Does all this mesh up into some kind of cogent way for agencies to go and find what it is they want at the best price?
For us, it's not cogent yet. There are large, like there are these attractors. Some of these larger mechs really do attract attention, and agencies know where to go if they want to buy something, and companies know to go where if they want to sell. But it's a disaggregated marketplace. Maybe not yet. I mean, to take the existing contract structure, which is slightly consolidated, and just put a roadmap, doesn't really make it very much easier for players in the market who have already understand this. Right? They already understand there are 5 or 10 or 15 MACs where their company has to go do the majority of their business and sell something. And agencies already know that too. Putting it down on paper helps, but until there really is a true consolidation, that is a necking down of the number of contracts, I don't think it's really going to change things too much. However, we haven't seen the final final about category management to see where that's going to go. We're very interested in understanding, you know, exactly how this is going to be thought of. It seems to be more of a concept right now than it is a program for change. And so we're going to keep our judgment reserved until we get a little more information.
So you can't rule it out categorically at this point.
Exactly.
All right. Kevin Brancato is defense analyst for Bloomberg Government. As always, thanks so much for that analysis.
My pleasure.